Welcome back to the Roundtable. It is time for this week's book picks. This morning, our booksellers are James Conrad from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, and Matt Tenenbaum from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. Welcome to you both. Thank you for being here. Happy Book Picks Day.
Hello, Sarah. Good seeing you.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Matt. James, I want to ask you to get a little closer on your mic here, please. And I'm going to begin with you.
Okay.
And I think you should do your first two books as one kind of
deal. Yes, that's what I will do. That's the plan.
Great.
I usually come here with a lot of fiction, but I came with biographies and a memoir this time, which are kind of surprising for me. But my first one is a biography. It's Marsha, The Joy and Defiance of Marsha P. Johnson by Tor Moulin.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Oh, I read it. Yes.
I'm so happy because I really want to get the word out on this. It's really a terrific. It's a biography of the black trans activist Martha P. Johnson. She's probably best known for being one of the queens to throw the first brick at Stonewall in 1969. Stonewall, of course, is the gay bar in Greenwich Village that was routinely raided by the police. And in 1969, on that night, the drag queens fought back, led to two nights of demonstrations, and it culminated in the first gay pride rally, and also the birth of the LGBTQ rights movement. Technically, queer historians have credited Johnson and two other drag queens for starting the fight with the police, but Johnson actually says she didn't get to the bar till 2 a.m. that night, and it was already sort of going on. There were also things like, did she throw a brick or a rock, or did she throw her shot glass? I mean, there's all these like wild stories from it, but it doesn't really, details actually don't really matter.
What year was that, 69?
69, yeah. Big year. And post it, Johnson really embraced her activist life, and she went on to lead and take part in a lot of queer organizations. Specifically, she championed trans rights and sex worker protections. She was arrested for about 100 times. And even though all of her activism at that time kind of led to safer communities within New York at that time, she had a very hard life. She was financially struggling, and she also had a lot of mental breakdowns. She was also shot. I mean, she really had, like, a crazy time. And then later in her life, she lost tons of friends to AIDS and tested positive herself 2 years before she died. Her death is also incredibly controversial. In 1992, her body was actually found washed up in the Hudson River. The police immediately ruled it a suicide and closed the case. And her family and friends were... who would personally sort of know in a way, like they were like, she did not commit suicide.
Right.
And at that time in 1992, there was a huge epidemic in gay violence.
Hate crimes.
Gay bashing.
Homophobia.
It was a horrible time. Actually, I was in New York in 1992, and it was a very unsafe time. And it was a given that, like, especially trans community was a big target of violence like that. And they did reopen the case 10 years later. They found no new evidence because at that point the case had really gone cold. Just a little about Tor Moulin. She's an artist and a filmmaker, the author. She's a filmmaker and an artist, and she champions black trans rights. She's one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. And she's done an excellent job with this biography. And in conjunction with it, she put out a children's version called One Day in June, a story inspired by the life and activism of Marsha P. Johnson. And it's wonderfully illustrated by Charlotte Christensen. And it's for ages preschool through third grade. And not to go on too long here, but I just wanted to get in that, I don't know if you know about this, but this year would have been Martha P. Johnson's 80th birthday. And Kingston, of all places, is doing like this month-long celebration of her.
Wow,
It's wild. They're going to do, they're having... festivals, movie screenings, poetry readings, potlucks, drag shows, political organizing, dances, all in honor of her legacy. And they're also doing a drag queen story hour at the LGBT Center, and it's going to be with Tor Moulin, and she's going to read her book, and I'll be there selling both books, and she's going to talk about both of the books and sign them. But if you want to get involved with any of this in August, go to marsha80th.com. It's marsha80th.com. And all of the stuff is there for, and get involved and attend some of the stuff. It's going to be really fun.
That is Marsha, The Joy and Defiance of Marsha P. Johnson by Tor Moulin, and the version for youngsters, One Day in June, a story inspired by the life and activism of Marsha P. Johnson by Tor Moulin, illustrated by Charlotte Christensen. The biography was fascinating. Tor Moulin is a wonderful speaker, very interesting artist and writer.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people probably know about her, and so this is a really great way to kind of be like, oh my gosh, you know, this whole part of history is right on her shoulders. So.
Get all into it, indeed. Matt, what do you want to talk about
first?
Wow,
that was excellent. James, pleasure to be in the room with you.
A pleasure to be in the room.
It's great.
Listen, have you not met before?
I have a book here that came out last year that I missed. And it came out, I think, in December. It's a paperback from New York Review of Books. It's called The Chance Meeting, American Encounters by Rachel Cohen. Sarah, do you know this book?
I don't know this book.
Rachel, I don't know that either. I was curious.
Rachel Cohen is an essayist. Her newest book is My Austen Year, about reading Jane Austen.
Oh.
Everybody spends a year reading Jane Austen. I mean, well, Rachel Cohen is doing that. I haven't read that one yet, but I'm gorging myself on this book. This is A Chance Meeting, American Encounters, and it is essays about writers and literary figures who have met over the years. I'm going to read you the table of contents. It starts with Henry James and Matthew Brady. Henry James Sr. was sitting for a portrait with Matthew Brady in 1840 and brought his young son, Henry James Jr., along, wearing his jacket with the 9 silver buttons that Henry James Jr. talks about later in his memoirs. And what Rachel Cohen has done, so you have Matthew Brady and Henry James, then you have Matthew Brady and Ulysses Grant, and then you have Ulysses S. Grant and Mark Twain, and then you have William James and W.E.B. Du Bois, W.E.B. Du Bois and, I forget who's next, then we have Willa Cather and Catherine M. Porter, and they never met. And that's where the essay title comes from, because Catherine M. Porter says she had a chance to meet Willa Cather, but that chance meeting never happened. So this is just a delightful book of all these writers who and what she's done, what Rachel Cohen has done, is taken these actual meetings and then created the narrative around it.
Mm-hmm.
So those buttons that Henry James talks about, he was wearing that jacket and never liked those buttons. but here that portrait of him and his father is what's going to be remembered of him, that kind of thing. So it's Rachel Cohen, lovely, lovely book, A Chance Meeting, American Encounters, published by New York Review of Books.
A Chance Meeting, American Encounters by Rachel Cohen. That is Matt Tenenbaum's first recommendation for you all this morning. James, what do you have next?
I'm doing another biography. I'm going to pivot a bit, though. This is Gwyneth, the biography of Amy O'Dell. By Amy O'Dell. I don't think celebrity bios get done a lot on Book Picks, but I thought I'd give it a go here. And
I think Cher.
Oh, you did Cher. That's true.
People
say
did Barbara.
Yeah.
But it is not the most common.
Not the most common. But you know, I will say Amy O'Dell is an incredibly respected.
We sold both of those books just last week.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh,
Cher and Barbara.
The Barbara one.
I know. Oh,
so
I just finished
good.
The whole thing on audio. All 25 hours.
Yeah.
Amazing. Or 35 hours, however long it was.
I loved it.
Anyways, Amy O'Dell is a very respected fashion journalist, and she wrote the biography of Anna Wintour a few years ago, which is a wonderful book. And Wintour actually was interviewed by O'Dell and gave her access to a lot of her personal contacts and professional contacts. But for O'Dell's latest, Gwyneth, which is, of course, Gwyneth Paltrow, things didn't quite go the same way. Initially, Paltrow agreed to be interviewed and to be involved, and then she asked if she could fact-check the entire book, which obviously for biographers is not really a thing they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Gwyneth kind of went away, and then all of the contacts that were initially very interested to be involved, they all went away. And one of the sources sort of told O'Dell that Gwyneth invented ghosting. And I think
I think
O'Dell would probably agree with that she got pretty much ghosted.
Yeah.
But Paltrow is such a public figure that O'Dell still managed to put together a very interesting biography. And she seems to be drawn to subjects, especially women, that people love and people love to hate. And they're women who've achieved a lot in their careers and in their personal lives, but they've also had a lot of press covering all of their achievements and mistakes. And Gwyneth has stepped in it a lot more than Anna, I think, in making some mistakes in her life. But I think one thing you can appreciate about O'Dell, though, is that she will give you all the gossipy parts, but she'll frame things in the time and the place, which will try to explain a little bit more of the psychology going on. And like an example is when Gwyneth was young and in school, there are a lot of mean girl anecdotes going on, but she frames it all within this very like upper class school she went to where the kids were just terrible. And so you can kind of get a little bit like, you can see her within that context. It doesn't excuse any behavior, but it gives you a little bit more like, okay, this isn't just like gossip for gossip's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Her film career sort of began and ended with Harvey Weinstein. Obviously, it started with her winning Best Actress for Shakespeare in Love and all that. But then it ended because of Harvey Weinstein. He kind of drove her out of wanting to make films anymore. And she was one of the first to come out to point out all of his sexual misconduct. And she was one of the first to stand up and put her name on it. And so, you know, everything after that is all goop. you know, I'm not. Goop is, of course, you know, Odell does a really great job of showing how this company had a lot of successes despite a lot of questionable medical problems with a lot of its products. And I won't name any of the products right now that are rather infamous, but there were some. And she's still doing Goop, by the way, and it's still successful. She's still actually in the news. She just did a thing yesterday where she came out with that video for that
A temporary spokesperson for
astronomy
astronomer, the
that company
AI
with the
with
Kiss
the,
Cam yes. controversy. Yes,
indeed.
I mean, kind of wild. She just kind of like jumped right on that zeitgeist and was like, oh, let's
also, I was thinking about that in the context
like
of
like who called who.
Right. And that company must, if they called her, they must have money, right? To pay her to do
I
it?
I don't know. And I also feel like she slightly did it because the book is being published today.
Maybe.
And so it kind of diverts some attention. You know, she's a very smart woman. She's a very smart woman. Anyways, like I was going to say, like I said, it's a great sort of summer beach read, I think. And you know, it's a hot day, so pull up by the lake or the pool or whatever and enjoy. Go out and get the new book, Gwyneth.
Gwyneth, A Biography by Amy Odell. I realized as you were speaking that I mentioned the Barbara and Cher, but those are both memoir, not biography exactly.
Exactly.
So it is,
yeah.
It is different.
Celebrity bio is not as common of a thing, but people like Amy Odell write really great writers.
What do you want to talk about?
Didn't we used to see Gwyneth's mother at Williamstown?
Blythe Danner.
Oh, yeah.
Blythe Danner.
She, that's
very
where
talented.
She got her start.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I want to go back to American Chance Encounters because I just want to read you a couple of more of these encounters.
Okay.
You have Mark Twain and Willa Cather, then Willa Cather and Ed Steichen, and Alfred Stieglitz and Hart Crane and Charlie Chaplin.
Wow.
James Baldwin and Norman Mailer, Robert Lowell, Elizabeth Bishop, Marianne Moore and Norman Mailer and Robert Lowell. And they just intertwined.
Very
and,
American
and she
encounters.
Makes these essays. She reminds you of the previous essay in you know that Lowell was having a cup of tea with such and such, and then that cup of tea was happening still happening with the next one. The next book I have is a children's book, The Music Inside Us, Yo-Yo Ma and His Gifts to the World by James Howe, the children's author of Benicula. Remember Benicula?
Yeah. Very popular.
Sarah,
Benicula.
You love Benicula, right?
Benicula's funny. Yeah. It is. It's good.
So this is a lovely, and it's illustrated by Jack Wong, a lovely children's biography story of Yo-Yo Ma and how he learned that he had this gift and what he wanted to do with this gift of playing the cello. And he learned from his mother, who he asked the question, what happens when you sing? And she told him, and he then learned how to make his cello that voice. And James Howe will be at the Lenox Library this coming Saturday at 3:00 in the afternoon. Yo-Yo Ma is performing this weekend at Tanglewood. I don't think he'll be at the library for us, but it's a lovely coincidence, and it's a beautifully illustrated book by Jack Wong.
It is beautiful, and Yo-Yo Ma is such a gift to the world, his talent and his advocacy and compassion. He's wonderful, and this looks absolutely beautiful. That is The Music Inside Us, Yo-Yo Ma and His Gifts to the World by James Howe, illustrated by Jack Wong. Thank you, Matt. What do you have next, James?
My next book is a memoir. It's Theater Kid by Jeffrey Sellers.
Good
reaction. It's funny. I was just going to start off by saying that I'm a big theater buff, but like the name Jeffrey Sellers like didn't connect when I first like heard of this book or anything. And the reason being is that he's a producer.
Yes.
He's not a like an actor or a writer or a musician.
He produced Rent and Hamilton.
Theater like tends to put the producer's name kind of further back. And my God, he literally has 4 Tony Awards, 2 Pulitzer Prizes for Best Musical. I mean, the fact that I didn't know his name like right off was like, oh my God.
It's impossible to know everything.
Exactly.
Is the excuse I give when I don't know things I feel like I should know.
The horrible part about not knowing it is that, as you learn in this book, being a producer is actually the hardest job in a Broadway show. It's like you are literally the one who gets the thing onto the stage. Like you carry all parts of it. And this memoir of his shows you that in great detail. But
kind of like running a bookstore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It definitely does that. but just to quickly catch up with his resume, he started with producing Rent and also did In the Heights, Avenue Q, and then Hamilton. And his life story is kind of like sounds like a synopsis for a really good musical, actually. He was an adopted child in a Jewish, economically challenged family outside of Detroit. His father was handicapped both mentally and physically at a very freak age when he was young, when Sellers was young. And the family had to go on and off welfare all throughout his life. And somehow, though, Sellers, found, the right teacher and put on his first play in fourth grade. And the teacher named him Theater Kid, and it stuck. His story goes on to coming out and moving to New York City at the height of the AIDS epidemic. And he eventually watched this rock monologue by Jonathan Larson and reached out to him and say, I want to produce your musical if you ever get it together. And, of course, that was Rent. And more recently, Sellers has made the news because he just canceled the production of Hamilton that was to take place at the Kennedy Center in protest of the canceling of queer programming and the politically motivated appointments on the board of directors, all of that horrible stuff. And one last thing about the book, just from a bookseller. I said I did the audiobook of Barbara, but for your theater fans, the audio of this is really great because he does call upon a lot of his Broadway crowd, from Lin-Manuel Miranda to Jesse Tyler Ferguson, to take part in it both with word and music. And so it makes a really great audiobook, but go to Libro.fm and get your audiobooks, and part of that money goes to independent bookstores. And you can even name your favorite independent bookstore to Target and all that. So there's a way to support your stores with audio.
Theater Kid, a Broadway memoir by Jeffrey Seller. Thank you, James. What do you have, Matt?
Another memoir. This is called Vision, a memoir of blindness and justice by David S. Tatel. And Judge Tatel was our guest at the bookstore back in late June for this memoir. One of the loveliest people I've ever met. Mid-80s now, retired from the U.S. Court of Appeals, First District and District of Columbia, the court that sits right under the Supreme Court. And then, these people go up to the Supreme Court, some of them. But Judge Tatel was blind most of his life. He had bad vision early on, and it got worse and worse and worse. And he never acknowledged it, or he always made up for it. And he succeeded in high school, in college, in law school, and in his career in law firms. And he was an advocate for civil rights in all his law firms. And then he tells these stories about serving on the court. And one of the funny stories I want to tell you is that he looked at these guidebooks, and he said, they're so poorly written. How could you write a judgment so poorly? One of his neighbors was a good writer, and for instance, told him, the period is a bureaucrat's best friend. stop. Stop with, eight syllable words, that kind of thing. Anyway, David was at the bookstore back in June, along with Linda Greenhouse, in a conversation. She was a reporter for the New York Times, covering the Supreme Court for many years. And it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And this is just a very inspiring book. They were both, I'm not going to say hopeful about the current courts, but they weren't hopeless.
So, that's something.
I'll leave you with that.
That is Vision, a memoir of blindness and justice. James.
All right. My next book is American Scare, Florida's Hidden Cold War on Black and Queer Lives by Robert Fiesler. American Scare it's a little known history of the Johns Committee that existed in Florida from the mid-1950s to the 1960s. It was created by the racist and homophobic governor of Florida at that time, Charlie Johns, and its initial intent was as a response to the new laws of desegregation that were finally being implemented across the country. And Florida was always a little bit a step further behind in racial equality, and also they tended to use the queer community as a favorite scapegoat. If you think of Anita Bryant in the 1970s, or more currently, the Disney stuff with attacking them for their LGBTQ support. The Johns Committee was ironically started at the tail end of the McCarthy-era witch hunts, but it used the same tactics. They accused mainly black and queer activists of communism, as well as crimes against nature for the queer targets. And they were able to get hundreds of them removed from their jobs in education, expelled from schools. And their technique was to basically kidnap them in broad daylight for endless interrogations to gain false confessions and to name names of others who were then similarly interrogated. And though they were never able to get anyone convicted of an actual crime, they ruined the lives and careers of hundreds of innocent black and queer, mostly men. Fiesler, his previous book was the excellent Tinderbox, which was an award-winning account of the Upstairs Lounge, a gay bar in New Orleans that was attacked by an arsonist in 1973. And when he was looking for his next book to write, he heard about this Johns Committee thing that most people haven't heard of. And he couldn't get a lot of, like, research because Florida actually won't allow you to look at the files of this committee. They just have very redacted files. But he found this woman who wrote her master's thesis on it, and she actually had a copy of the files completely unredacted, and she gave them to him. So he was able to produce this book with all of the names of the informants, the people involved, the dates, and even the victims. And he was able to pursue this really great book. He also believes it's a very important response to Florida present-day policies, which, again, under DeSantis, is doing battle against teaching black history in schools, LGBT rights in general. So it's a very important history of a very dark chapter in Florida that may not really be over with yet.
American Scare, Florida's Hidden Cold War on Black and Queer Lives by Robert W. Fiesler. Matt.
My next book is another one that came out at the end of last year. A little slow on the uptake here,
right?
But these are such beautiful. This book is called Sculptor's Daughter, a Childhood Memoir by Tove Jansson. Do you know Tove Jansson? She wrote the Moomin Troll books for kids, and which I got turned on to when I became a bookseller in Lenox 49 years ago. And these are like hippopotamus kind of cartoonish characters and have family stories. But I've really found Tove Jansson when I read her book, The Summer Book, a novel about a woman spending a summer on an island with her granddaughter. And it's the consciousness of both of them. The granddaughter is 5 and just beginning to understand the world, and the grandmother is realizing it's probably her last summer on the island. And it's the most tender book. And I've loved Tove Jansson ever since. And then I found this one. It's her childhood memoir. Think Frank McCourt, but without the drama. Think Barbara Cummins. Have you read Barbara Cummins writes English period pieces after the war without the tragedy. Think Mary Oliver without the steadfastness. But think this person who is writing from the viewpoint of a child. The child's imagination is more real than anything else. And this is her story. I'll read you the first paragraph of the first chapter. Oops, I missed it. There it is. Grandfather was a clergyman and used to preach to the king. Once before his children and his children's children and his children's children's children covered the face of the earth, Grandfather came to a long field which was surrounded by forests and hills so that it looked like paradise. At one end it opened out onto a bay for his descendants to bathe in. So this is a child's sense of ancestors and how she came to be and who this tall, remote character was. And This is off an island off Finland, I should say. I'm sorry, I didn't say that earlier. And these are just the most, where imagination is as real as anything. And the children, she and her sister play. It's a lovely book. I can't even use words. I'm sorry.
You're doing very well. Sculptor's Daughter, a Childhood Memoir by Tove Jansson. James, do you want to do Perspectives very quickly?
Sure. I can very quickly say Perspectives is by a novel by Laurence Binet, who also wrote the wonderful novel HHH. That's 3 consonant H's, which was a wonderful, not wonderful, but very dark novel about Reinhard Heydrich, who was one of Hitler's more notorious henchmen. But what Binet does is he does historical fiction in a very interesting way, like in HHH. He himself was a character in it, so it could kind of talk about how do you do historical fiction? Can an author make things up? Can he make dialogue up. You know, what are those questions about how it changes the reality of what the history was? And Perspectives is about the murder of a Florentine artist during the Renaissance, Jacopo di Pontormo, and his device this time. It's all told in letters, and it's a wonderful whodunit, who killed this artist. And if you love Florence and the Renaissance, read this.
Thank you. Matt, I am so sorry. Save this for next time.
Okay.
We are out of time.
Thank you, Sarah.
Of course, the book picks list is posted online at wamc.org/roundtable. The Golden Notebook is in Woodstock, New York, goldennotebook.com. The bookstore in Lenox is in Lenox, Massachusetts, bookstoreinlenox.com.